Welcome back to the Why Know Something Crazy podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, I'm Jenna Ray, and we're glad you're here and glad you're listening. But as you can, if you're watching this or listening to this, this is going to be a little bit different of a podcast. That's just because I wanted to dive into the word more this week. And something that's been on my heart lately is to talk about is who does Jesus call us to be and how do we step into that, and what does that look like in our everyday lives? And so I guess just to dive in, if you are driving, if you are watching this, like not doing anything, and you have your Bible near you or by you or on your phone, you can pull up these verses with me and you can read them with me as well. I'm going to be reading out of my NIV. In case you want to read word for word for me, or you can read whatever translation you want. But a scripture that I really wanted to study is Matthew 5, which is all about when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things that, well, I guess I could just talk about that when I get there. So I guess let's just dive into it. So we're going to break it down into sections. So first we can talk a little bit about the Beatitudes and what does that actually mean and how does it look like, and just, yeah. So I'm going to jump into it and read it, and you guys can follow along with me. You can listen. I'm going to start in verse 3. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So if that's your first time reading through that, I have a couple notes that I want to touch on and just like explain a little bit. So going back up into verse 3, where it says, well, first before that is the Beatitudes. Like, if you've never heard about the Beatitudes before, it's kind of more of like a blueprint to how to do this whole Christian thing, how to live Christian. Like, it's a blueprint of living a Christian life, basically. So verse 3, where it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So no, you're not actually poor. Like, you're not actually, you don't have any money. You can't go out and buy stuff. Like, that's not what that's saying. It just means the acknowledgement to want to know God and to want to seek him more. And just that need, that turn to Jesus, that we need him. And just like, that could look like when we understand that we are all sinners, because we screw up every single day, even me. Like, I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And if someone says they're perfect, that's not true. But it's just that acknowledgement of, hey, we are sinners. We are broken. We all mess up every single day. And we need Jesus. We need Jesus' forgiveness. We need Jesus' grace that he took to the cross for us, and he died for those sins. He died to make us right with God so that we have the hope that we have eternal life. And it's just that need for him every single day. So I guess in verse 4, where it says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." A lot of times, like, you just think like mourning a lost loved one, or mourning a lost friend or something like that. But it can also, which I learned about this like a couple weeks ago, like it can be more than just losing someone, like someone dying in your family or just dying in your life. Like, you could be mourning the loss of a friendship, that they're no longer friends with you. You could be mourning the loss of a job, loss of basically anything. And like I never, when I always read that, like I never actually kind of like thought about that. 'Cause like when you always think about mourning, you just think about like someone passing away, which it could be a lot more broader than that than just mourning from someone passing away. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So if you were like me when I first read this, or like first time ever reading this, the first or like could be the second time, third time, like what does meek mean? Like I actually had to look it up my first time reading it, and I was like, I want to understand this, and I want to know what the word of God is saying. And so meek just means like quiet and gentle, which what does that mean? Like, what does that look like, Jenna? Which quiet and gentle just means like going back to the fruit of the spirit and how we're supposed to live, which I guess I can pull that up to ask, actually explain it a little bit. So the fruit of the spirit is going to be Galatians 5 verses 22. So Galatians 5, chapter 5, verses 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. There will also be, and it just goes on and stuff. But it's kind of like that is just instead of being angry, instead of being hot-headed or always having to be right or always just, it's you are taking a step back and humbling yourself. That Jesus calls us to not always have to be perfect, to not always have to strive to be the best that we can be. It's just to be like him, and like how he lived. Like he lived quiet and gentle, and if someone said something mean about him, like he didn't fight back. But the next verse is, blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So if this is your first time reading it, no, you're not actually hungry. You're not actually thirsty. Like, I need to go get a burger or a Coke or Chick-fil-A or something. Like, no, that's not what it's saying. It's, guess that that goes back to verse 1 where it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. For like, it, those kind of go together. When I think about it, is you have that hunger and thirst to want to know more of Jesus and want to know what he's like and how he acted, and so that you can be like that, because we're all made in the image of God. We're all made to reflect Jesus in our everyday lives. And so how do we reflect somebody if we don't know about him? Like we want to learn about him and know about him so that we can then reflect that to a broken world that we need to show light into. And so for the second part of that verse, for they will be filled. So when you turn toward Jesus and you want to know more about God and you want to know more of his character, like God likes that. Like God doesn't, God is constantly pursuing us, but he's, it's a little bit later in this chapter where it's kind of like that idea of knock and you will be, like if you knock, he'll answer basically. And like you go to him, he's gonna be there. He's got, he wants to get to know you, he wants to talk to you, he wants to have that relationship with you. And so when you are hunger and thirsty for more of him, he's gonna meet you there, is basically what that's saying. I'm gonna put a lot of these other ones together. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the pure in heart, this just looks like, it's kind of like the idea of if you have alternate motives, alternative motives. I can't speak. And like, for example, kind of going to more like a churchy term, like everyone talks about, is tithing every week. Like, yeah, we're supposed to tithe, But if you're out here saying, I'm tithing, I'm giving this much, I'm giving this much, like, you're supposed to, like, he even says in the word that you don't want to know what your right, like, you don't want your left hand knowing what your right hand's doing. Like, it's that idea of you knowing what's right, doing what is right, and, like, not everyone has to care. Like, not everyone needs to know that. Like, the only person that knows that is you and the Father. And it's just, like, the pure in heart. Like, when you constantly go to Him and constantly want to be refreshed by Him and constantly, like, learn more about Him, like, He's puring your heart. Like, He's trimming all the bad stuff away. He's pruning all the bad fruit, and He's making you be able to produce the good fruit and to be able to bring that into the world and to be that light, which we're going to get that into a little bit later. And then the peacemakers, it's just going back up to meek, is just being that gentle and quiet spirit of not always having to fight back, not always having to have the right comeback, saying the right comeback. Or if someone says something mean about you, then you're gonna say something mean about them. Of just letting God be. Like, Jesus, when He was here on earth, He was hated. Like, people, He sent Him to the cross and crucified Him. So if you are following Jesus, like, things aren't gonna be perfect for you. Like, if things weren't perfect for Jesus, like, what makes you think that you're gonna have a perfect life, like, not struggle with anything, not have, like, anything going on? Like, it's a constant turning to Him in those times. And I'm gonna jump down to verses 13, because these verses I talked a little bit about in my last podcast, if you watched that, which if you haven't watched that, go back and watch that. That was an absolute great conversation with my sister-in-law. But I just wanted to dive into this. And these are the verses that actually was the reason why I wanted to talk about this. Of the idea of, like, what does Jesus call us to do? Like, how does He call us to be in the world and to show Him to everyone else? So chapter 5, verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth. And so I'm just going to stop right there. So in my Bible, I put a little comment there, and where it says, you are, I circled it and I said, that's me. Because that's you. Like, Jesus is talking about you. Like, you are this. And then He says, this is who you are. You are the salt of the earth. And so you're like, what does that mean? Like, you are the salt. Like, if you didn't know, like, salt is used as to preserve food and to is used to preserve food and to make it not go bad. And because if we're the salt of the earth, then we are made to step into the world and to show the goodness. And because we all, as Christians, we all know that the world is broken. The world is sometimes, like, there is Christians in the world, but the world's not following Jesus. The world is not, does not know Jesus, does not know how to act. But we are called to bring that saltiness to the world. And the world can't get better if we don't have that saltiness. And, like, a lot of times I like this explanation, and I just really want to share it. I always think of, if you have regular table salt and regular sugar and you put them side by side, they look very, very similar. And a lot of times the world tries to make everything like a big old Christmas present bow, look like nice and pretty and nice and sweet. Like, that's what sugar is. Sugar is nice and sweet. And if you step out of what the world says, then you're going to be hated on. You're going to be canceled. You're going to be whatever. Fill in the blank. But then salt Like when you mix salt with sugar, like you're not like those or you could tell those separate. If you eat a spoonful of sugar, eat a spoonful of salt, you're not gonna like the salt because the salt's like, oh, I don't want to eat that. So you want to be mixed in with that sugar because when you're mixing that sugar, they're gonna be like, who's this person like not following the norms? They're gonna be like, okay, I have anxiety, I have depression, I'm worried about all these things, but so and so here doesn't. Like, I want that. I want to be like that. Like, I don't want to have to worry about what's going on 5 years down the road or what I have to worry about next week or like being that salt mixed in with the sugar around you gives you the opportunity to be that light and to be the person that people look at. It was like, wait, you're different. Like, you're not acting the way that we were all supposed to be, like how the world teaches us to act. And then it then opens the door for you to talk about Jesus and like, hey, Jesus did this and Jesus changed my heart. And like, I don't have to worry about tomorrow or worry about next week or like years down. Like, I'm just worrying about today. I just went down a whole road there, but let's get back to the scripture. So, second part of verse 13, where it says, "But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It no longer is good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." That's pretty self-explanatory right there. Like, if salt isn't salty, then it's just sugar. Kind of like going back to that example that I just said. Like, if salt doesn't taste anything different than the sugar, like, you're just gonna go with the world's norms. You're just gonna go with what the world's saying. And, like, you're not gonna be that light that's set apart. And I guess just that's the idea of, like, what Jesus calls us into be is to be set apart. Like, he doesn't want us to follow what your college is doing or follow what anybody else is doing. Like, he wants us to be set apart. Like, that's what we're made to be. Like, we're not made to just go through the motions of like, oh, you're drinking, you're going partying, okay, I'm there. Like, no, like God wants us to be different. Like, he wants that relationship with us. He wants us to go to heaven with him. Like, and he wants as much people there as possible. Like, he wants us to go to all to go to heaven with him. And so if you have a relationship with Jesus and you have that light inside of you and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, like, and you have your best friend doesn't know Jesus, like, when she dies, like, if she's never accepted Jesus, you're not gonna be with her with eternity. Like, you're not gonna have eternity with her. So, like, that's your job to show her, like, teach her the gospel, teach her about Jesus. And like, I guess that's just an example of like what we're called to do. Verse 14. This verse I actually love. It's what I continue to go back to as a Christian and as my everyday walk with Christ is, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So, if you watched my last podcast, I talked a little bit about this verse. But let's just dive more into it. Again, the first part of the verse is you are. Jesus is telling us again who you are. Like, this is who you are. This is like you're not confused. Like, okay, Jesus, what am I supposed to do? This is who you are. You are the light of the world. You're the person that got placed in your campus on your campus. You're the person that got placed in your workplace. You got placed in your friend group. You got placed in the city that you're in the town you're in the state you're in. Like, Jesus doesn't make mistakes. Like, If he has you at that job, if he has you at that college for a reason, or in that small group, or in this scene, whatever, like wherever it might be, even in the grocery store one night after work, like God knew you were going to be there. God places people in your life for those reasons, like for you to minister to them, which I think is just so cool. It's like, that's the part where like you don't need to worry about the future, because like you are like God, you know that God already knows why you're here and what he has you there for. So it's like you can just live day by day, because you're like, okay, God has me here for a reason. I'm just gonna live this day, and if my kindness and my gentleness and love and self-control, like my fruits of the Spirit, can impact someone, then that's a win for the kingdom. And I really like this next part, is a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. So it's like, if you light a lamp, like back in the day, like people didn't have lights where you just flip on when you walk into a bedroom. Like they had actual lamps. Like if you light a lamp, like an oil lamp, why would you just cover it up? Like you might as well just blow out the candle. So when you accept Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you and you have that light inside of you, like you don't want to dull that. Like I love like thinking of the ideas, like don't let anybody dull your light. Don't let anybody say something about you or put you down, because Jesus loves you and Jesus accepts you and Jesus has a purpose for you. And so the idea of people not putting it in a bowl is like, Jesus doesn't want to hide you. Like God made you the way that he wanted to made you. He knew the desires of the heart, of your heart, that you're going to have. He knew your skills that you're going to have. Like he didn't make any mistakes when he was making you. Like he doesn't want to hide that. Like he doesn't want you to hide like who you are and who he created you to be. So I guess that's the comfort that I have when I read that verse. It's like, I'm not going to hide who God created me to be. Like, I'm not going to hide the skills that I have, or the things I like to do, or like how I like to be, or like, so like a lot of my friends, if they're watching this, like I'm like the silly one of the group. Like I'm always have the most energy sometimes, or like sometimes have like this random energy at like 10:30 at night. Like, but then again, like I'm not, like I had friends before that used to make fun of me, or like, oh, Jenna's like a lot. But like at the end of the day, it's like God knew who he was making. God knew that this is how I'm making Jenna. Like I love her exactly how I'm making her. And like I'm not gonna shy away from that. Like I'm not gonna put certain parts of Jenna that God crafted in me to be like, to fit the norms of what people want me to be or what the world wants me to be. So instead, this part is, I boxed around instead. I said, instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. I guess in the house, you can circle and you could put the world. Like you can kind of start in your house, like start in your family. Like if you're the only Christian in your family, start there, like start in the house, and then spread out to the world, spread out to your friend group, your college, your job. Like it's like we're made to not be dull. Like Jesus wants our light to be bright, and he wants his light in you to be bright. And like verse 16, I just kind of wrapped that up and talked about that a little bit. The next thing that I wanted to talk about was over. So after we kind of like all know about how we're supposed to live and what that's supposed to look like, is we need to, basically the idea of dying to ourselves. Like, we know that we are sinful humans. We know that we mess up. We know that we're not perfect. Like, and that's the idea of like, okay, God, I want to follow your path. Like, I want to do what you want me to do. And that's the idea of surrendering. And I know if people are watching this and like, you don't go to church, you probably don't know what the word surrendering means. Like, yeah, you know, surrendering means like giving your life to somebody or something. But it really means like that you are like, trying to use my words carefully. I'm gonna restart this. All right, so now that we know about what it looks like to live a Christian life and like what does it mean to be the light of the world and what Jesus calls us to be, it's now it's like we have to step into that and like surrendering to Jesus every single day. And what does that mean? So I really like this verse. If you want to flip here, it's Galatians 5, chapter 24. And it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking and envying to others. So the main verse that I was going to talk about here is just 24, where it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. It's the idea of ever since the beginning of time when Adam and Eve were like cast out of the garden and Eve ate the fruits and like they broke that relationship with God, is our bodies ever since that time were broken. Like, the only thing that's good inside of us is when we accept Jesus is our spirit that God puts inside in our soul. And so it's the idea of like when Christ, those who belong to Christ and those who accept Jesus, so like you and me, the ones that actually live for Jesus, have crucified the flesh, which means the idea of, I'm going to kind of like say the example of like baptism. When we get baptized, it's like an outward decision of an inward decision. And when we go under the water, we are basically saying everything that we once were is no longer. And when we come out of the water, we are made new with Jesus. And it's the new life that we're then stepping into when we accept Jesus and that we're living the way that Jesus wants us to live. It's like everything that we once did, everything that we once had the desires and have the things that we once wanted to do, we're basically setting that all aside. It's like that we're going this path. And it's a total change of direction. We're going this path. I guess that's kind of the explanation of like what it means to crucify the flesh. It's like, this is how I once was living. This is 180. I'm moving this way and I'm heading toward Jesus. And so, yeah, that's all I have this week. I just wanted, I hope I can do this a lot more. Like, I'm gonna have still some people on the podcast with me, but I do also like diving into word together and like, what does the word mean? What does Jesus call us to be, step into? Like, what is he trying to teach us? And I might do like a little bit Bible time, like maybe every other week or every other 2 weeks or something. But yeah, if you want to talk more about a book of the Bible or talk more about or learn more about something, Make sure you comment that down below, and or you can DM me on Instagram at @WandaSomethingCrazyPodcast. If you're not following me on Instagram yet, make sure you follow me and subscribe to my YouTube channel, so you can always stay up to date with a new podcast that gets posted. But yeah, hopefully you have a good rest of your week and a good rest of your day. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope to see you back here next Thursday. And yeah, bye guys.